Brethren, do you ever just stop and think of our Lord's return and that he promised to serve us meat in due season? And there are two sets of scriptures. One speaks about how he serves us, and the other speaks how he sits down and enjoys the meal with us, dear friends. You know, it's just a privilege we have to have so much understanding of what's happening in the earth, not to worry about what the world is concerned about. And dear friends, as I look around the world, I notice that there is a tremendous feeling of burnout. I don't know if you've read or seen some of the things. I mean, in this country, many feel there's been 10 years of controversy and trouble, and people are just really worn down. And friends, I've noticed you go in professions. I was in teaching. Burnout is a real issue. There's trouble in healthcare. There's just not enough hands to help. It's probably every realm of human life. There is a tiredness and a weariness. But we have encouragements in the scriptures not to be weary in well-doing. And brethren, we're an aging movement in this country. And in the old man, we get pretty tired sometimes. How do we renew strength is really our theme today. Dear friends, our Father has given us such a wonderful book of nature. Have you ever thought about the privilege it was for Jesus to participate with him in creation? Or to think about, you know, when he received the Spirit, the memory of his time with the Father would be in his mind. And he's going over thinking through things like the lamb that was slain. And his mind could reach back to the creation of that lamb and how they put those qualities in the lamb that would show his character, brethren. We have a dear sister in the Wilmington Ecclesia who loves, and I'm sorry, Sister June, I forgot the text, but there's a scripture that speaks about how the animals teach us, how we learn, and it speaks of that book of nature and the lessons we have. Well, our lesson today, as you can see, is like eagles. The eagle in particular, is a picture of how we renew strength. And brethren, if you study this subject, it's interesting where this phrase renew or renewal comes up in the scriptures. Okay, now let me get with the program. So our theme text is a very familiar one. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, this is quite a promise. It's not just renewing strength, it's mounting up, running and not being weary, walking and not fainting. And you'll find, brethren, the words weary and faint appear often in the scriptures too. It is a common challenge for us. Now, that's Isaiah 40:31, as you can see. Now, I like the New Living Translation here. Those who trust in the Lord. And friends, I think I could tell from the hymns this morning, you love the word trust and trusting in the Master. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. You know, sometimes we need more strength than we've had in the past, and the Lord supplies that to us. They will soar high on wings like eagles. Isn't that beautiful? It's not just mount up, but soar high. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Now, brethren, it's interesting. If you study this subject, the word for eagle is nesher. And there's a wonderful discourse Brother Wes Kramer gave years ago called The Way of the Nesher. And it's actually a bird of prey. It's a category like it includes not just eagles, but hawks and vultures. But it's speaking to the kinds of birds that were in Israel. Now, I mention this because among the brethren, sometimes there's a discussion about the eagles that are gathered to the carcass. Is that truly an eagle or is it a vulture, as some translations point out? We hope to give you reasons that I think it really is talking about the eagle as opposed to the vulture. But this scripture is quite an interesting one because the writer is focused on, this is in Proverbs, three things are too wonderful for me, four I do not understand. This is Proverbs 30, verse 18 and 19. Four I do not understand, the way of an eagle, a nesher, in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a woman. those are things that, you know, the Lord designed in the earth, but they're hard for us to understand how they work. Now, science today has given us quite a bit of information about the eagle. And here are some of the characteristics that I found really striking. And I think you will be able to see how these can be applied to the Christian. We've talked about mounting up into the sky. They have incredible eyesight, dear brethren. You know, eagles have huge eyes. We'll talk about that in a moment. They're able to fly very high above the earth, over the mountains, above the clouds. It's pretty remarkable. They have a particular care for its young. They dwell on high and inaccessible places to their enemies, their prey, or excuse me, those that would prey upon them. This gather to the carcass is quite interesting. They're very swift to the prey. It's kind of remarkable. I heard a story of Brother Richard Sarasi, and he's no longer with us. But he and his brother, as young boys, they saw an eagle way up in the air, just a speck. They weren't sure what it was. Well, from on high, this eagle saw a snake in the grass. And it came plummeting down and took that snake. They couldn't believe that speck could come down so fast and take that prey. So they are swift to the prey, and they have that eyesight in combination there. And then, as the scripture points out, this renewing strength. How do eagles renew their strength? This is a really fascinating aspect of this. One other thing about eagles that maybe isn't necessarily a lesson for us, but they are the top of the food chain. They are a predator, like the lion would be in the animal world, the eagle would be in the bird world. So when you take a look at all of these, brethren, there are some points that are quite different from vultures, as we'll see. Okay, what about this point of mounting up into the sky? Now, brethren, this is a fascinating item. Have you ever noticed how the birds sometimes circle in the sky? And this is particularly true of eagles and of vultures. Well, what they're doing is they're riding the wind currents. And where warm air is going up, they circle around that warm air, and it lifts them up. This is that mounting up or this soaring up on high. They don't have to do a lot of flapping of their wings, in other words. Then when they descend, it's in the cooler air. So they're able to pick those kinds of changes in the air temperature pretty easily, and they maneuver in that way. Now, friends, we would like to show here, this is a brief video of, and I'm sorry, I didn't realize that was on the screen. This is a brief video of an eagle mounting up. I'd like you to notice how much effort is going into this. And you notice he's circling, just twisting his tail just the slightest bit. They use the wings when there is some need, but eagles can stay aloft for hours in the air. I've read even some can for longer than a day mount up in the air. And brethren, you can see, I think, that when you're mounting up in the air like that, it doesn't take a lot of effort. And if we think of the air that is uplifting as the Holy Spirit, the more we're in tune with that Holy Spirit, it lifts us up, brethren. And we want to stay near to that Holy Spirit. We mentioned they fly high above the earth. And brethren, these qualities, you can find them all in scriptures. This is Proverbs 23, verse 5, about flying like an eagle toward heaven. Now, brethren, you can think of ancient minds looking at the eagle and some wanting to be near the Father and seeing these eagles mounting up on high and wanting to be like that eagle, to fly high above the earth. And isn't that an interesting thing for us, brethren? We want to live above the earth. We don't want to be down in the earthly experience. It's kind of in the mud, I would say, brethren, with the world. But to be lifted up by the Lord's promises and his truth, which are given to us through the Holy Spirit for this purpose of lifting up and for renewal. Now, did you know they can fly over mountains? This is something I find pretty amazing. This is an eagle's perspective flying high over the mountains. How the head turns, seeking food. Look at that environment that it's looking for food in, friends. The eagle can fly up to 20,000 feet. You know, that's close to 4 miles, brethren. And that eyesight, they can see down a mile for their prey. Brethren, it's just remarkable how this was designed. And the eagle, you notice how big its eyes are? It has something like 8 times the light receptors in its eyes that a human being has. It has incredible eyesight. You notice in this picture how the eagle makes its nest in the mountains. Now think how difficult it would be, say, for a snake to come up and get into the nest for the eggs. You know, there are many scriptures that talk about how our Father is our refuge and how we've been put in a strong tower or in a high, inaccessible place like the crags of the rocks. The eagle is a perfect picture of this item. That's from Job 39:27-30. Is it at your command that the eagle mounts up and makes his nest on high? On the cliff he dwells and lodges, upon the rocky crag, an inaccessible place. From there he spies out food, he sees it from afar, his young ones also. And where the slain are, you know, the prey, there is he also. Again, a remarkable picture. The scriptures also tell us about, this is Job 9:25-26. Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They slip by like reed boats, like an eagle that swoops to its prey. I thought that was interesting on our aging. Our days pass like it's so quick as the eagle that descends from the sky. And friends, when the eagle descends, they can get up to 200 miles per hour. An eagle strike is really devastating. I mean, they've been known to knock mountain goats off mountains. I've seen videos where they pick up alligators. I mean, it's just remarkable. And they have a way they know also of, with their prey, they're able to catch them in such a way that the prey is defenseless. Like there's a certain kind of lizard that its claws will take the eyes out immediately, for example. And I look at that picture. I know it sounds hard, Sister Barbara. But I think it's a good picture of how we want to get rid of sin in ourselves when we see it. You don't want to give any quarter to your failings. You want to completely overcome those and completely mortify those. Habakkuk 1:8 is also interesting. I'll start with verse 6. And I believe this is a picture of really the anarchy that the world will experience. It says, "Behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour." I think you can see that kind of spirit in the world, amongst some today in the world. Okay. Another aspect of this is their keen and focused eyesight that was also mentioned in the Job portion that we read. I like this picture, brethren, because you can see the focus here. You know, imagine if you see, and I don't, this is amazing to me about their eyesight. Have you ever tried to fish or do something in the water and you thought you were casting your bait just to the right spot and it goes in the water, it goes differently than you thought? You know, because the water, the density is different. Well, somehow they're able to see through that and know exactly how to catch a fish from way high, brethren. Look at the focus. You see the talons out ready to grasp, the eyes on it. Brethren, to me this is also a wonderful picture of how we're to focus, like this one thing I do. You know, how we are to be so in tune with our Father and combating our flesh. They can spot a rabbit more than a mile high. And because they are so quick, they're able to surprise their prey. It's a remarkable animal. Now, it's interesting in the care for their young, and I think the friends know this text from Deuteronomy 39 or 32. I'll read verses 9 to 12. The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the howling waste of a wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He guarded him as the pupil of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. You know, brethren, if you think about that, you see this eagle that is, I mean, it's a predator bird. But then here's this care for its young. It seems like it doesn't quite fit, doesn't it? And have you ever had something come at your eye and how you protect your eye? I mean, this speaks about protecting like the pupil of your eye. We're just so naturally reactive if something were to come against our eye. Well, this is actually a comparison with the Lord, that he cares over us as an eagle cares for its young. And brethren, look at that nest. You know, if you had a baby, would you make a nest like that? You sure wouldn't, would you? Well, I found recently, if you were able to see the center of the nest, where the eggs are laid, it is full of downy feathers. But the outer portion are these branches and brambles. And these things can be 20 feet across, these nests. They can be huge, friends. Now think about this. The eagle actually cares for its young up to 5 years long, okay? But they grow fairly quickly. So pretty soon they're not in that downy portion of the nest. They're out in this area of the branches and, you know, it just doesn't look very comfortable. I wouldn't want a bed like that for sure, you know. So brethren, the Lord wants us to grow quickly. Can you see that? He has this care over us, but we need experiences to grow and mature, but his care is over us still in those experiences. Now, sometimes these eagles, the thought is suggested here in verse 11, as he spread his wings and caught them, he carried them on his pinions. But sometimes the eagles can fall, the baby eagles can fall out of the nest, that the mother or father eagles can catch them or bring them back to the nest. It's a remarkable thing. I mean, sometimes we have experience, we get a little too far out there, don't we? And the Lord gives us experiences that we learn from and to bring us back to the nest. Now friends, here's the point about the carcass, Matthew 24:28. Wherever the carcass is, there will eagles be gathered. And this is in response to the master. He's giving the parable, excuse me, not the parable, the prophecy of his return. And he speaks about how there'll be two in a house. One shall be taken, another left. Or two shall be in a field, one taken, another left. And they ask him, well, Lord, where will these be taken to? And he gives this illustration like the eagles given to the carcass. Okay. Now, brethren, this is quite interesting. This is Luke 17:34-37, in addition to Matthew 24:28. I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill together. One will be taken, another left. Two shall be in the field. One will be taken, another left. And they answered and said, where, Lord? And he said, wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered. Well, brethren, what you find with eagles that's different than vultures, they eat carrion. They will eat food that's been dead for some time. Eagles, when they're very hungry, they may do this as well. But they go for food that is freshly killed. Okay? And brethren, think about this. They're normally a bird that seeks its prey and catches its food live and then consumes it. Brethren, this picture is one of eagles that are hungry. And usually they hunt singly. But here, because of their hunger, they come together on this carcass. Now, brethren, think about this. A freshly killed animal. We often think of the scripture where Jesus said, "A body thou hast prepared me." This is similar, that the Lord had prepared a body of truth. The carcass represents that meat in due season. But it's not something that the Lord's people could take for themselves. It had to be provided. That's why the carcass is so important here. It's already provided. And then you think about the centuries of hunger to understand the Lord's truth for those who are truly eagles. And how that message of truth would gather them together. It's interesting, brethren. It's something they will do, but it is not the common experience of eagles. Okay? But what a rich picture for us that that is. And brethren, it's interesting too. I think another difference between eagles and vultures is that eagles have this wonderful eyesight. Vultures have a wonderful sense of smell as opposed to eyesight. And I think that's an interesting expectation for us. Our eyesight is because the Lord gives us this wonderful eyesight because of the truth. Now, when we speak of renewing strength, this is from Psalm 103:5, that our Father satisfies our years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And here's the important part about renewal. And brethren, we need renewal. You know, we go through battles in this life and difficulties, things that wear the old flesh down. If the new creature isn't continually renewing, it's getting worn down as well. And brethren, it's kind of interesting that eagles go through a long period of molting where their feathers grow from their, you might say, eaglet feathers to their mature feathers. And it's in this idea of renewal that as they're a youth, they're renewing, but they're getting stronger. They're renewing that strength, in other words. And they're better able to fly with those adult feathers than they are with the younger. It's kind of an interesting picture. And brethren, I think you may know from other scriptures that feathers can represent hopes, things that carry aloft. And so having more mature hopes, I think, is also a suggestion in this lesson. Now, friends, there are a number of texts that I think are so helpful to us. And this is one that has helped me quite a bit, this promise in Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Brethren, this is quite interesting, this word, wait. You know, how many of you are impatient in the flesh? Oh, every hand should go up. Come on, friends. This is kind of interesting. How is it that waiting on the Lord and being of good courage strengthens our hearts? How does that work, friends? And, brethren, I like to think of Abraham. We've had some discussion about this, but, you know, you think of Abraham, how is it that he would hear from the Lord, go to a country you've never seen before, leave the chief city of your day? You know, he took the Lord at his word and he went, brethren. Now, he's promised to have a son. But think of all those years of waiting that he had. And think of the experiences that they went through. You know, he thought that he should make his chief servant his heir. But the Lord said no. Then Sarah thinks, well, let's help the process out. Let's have Hagar. You know, I kind of wonder about Sarah coming back in the kingdom when she looks back and sees the Arabs, what she's going to think about the seed that she sowed, you know. She'll see the Lord's overruling too, of course. But, brother, I think the point is Abraham's faith was growing stronger in those years. You know, you look at Romans 4. I just love how Paul expresses it, that he points out that Abraham didn't stagger. He staggered not at the deadness of his body or of Sarah's womb. You know, his faith was such that grass, if the Lord told me I'm 100 years old, I'm going to have a child, my wife's 90 and she's going to have a child, he believed the Lord and it was counted for righteousness. Brethren, this is a different kind of waiting. And this word wait in Scripture is quite interesting because it has the idea of binding together by twists, all right? Now, you might know the Scripture in Ecclesiastes 4:12. It says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. That's a text the brethren often use to give to ones that are newly married in the truth. Because the point is, you and your spouse plus the Lord bound together, that is the best kind of strength. And that's what you find illustrated in a rope, dear brethren. So in this picture, wait on the Lord. We believe the thought here is, here you are relying on the Lord and his promises. So this waiting is not just this sort of enduring where you're just passing the time, but you're really dwelling more and more on those promises. And that is what is giving you courage and what is strengthening your heart, dear friends. Now, we brought this in here with the picture of the eagle, brethren, because, again, you'll see the eagle is a real picture of this renewal. But, friends, think about Elijah in his trip when Jezebel threatened him to kill him after he killed the priests. But after the victory on Mount Carmel, he flees. I always chuckle at that, brethren, because he goes into the wilderness and he prays to die. But if he just stayed in Israel, he could have let Jezebel kill him, you know, if he really was thinking. We're not always consistent. But it's on that journey the Lord gives him renewal because he's fed a meal by the angel. Now, brethren, it's really a picture of the seventh period of the church being fed for its journey. It really shows the importance of truth until the church is completed. And to be able to bear this vision that he has later of the wind, earthquake, and fire before the still small voice is shown. It's wonderful how these pictures all interrelate and come together. So friends, we would just strongly encourage you, we want to have that waiting in expectation of the promises. It's not just waiting, passing the time, but it's grasping those promises, expecting more and more their fulfillment. Expectation and inspiration are very important to us as Christians and in our renewal. Now, we mentioned this scripture yesterday, brethren. The same word for soaring on high in Isaiah 40:31, or mounting up, as the King James has, it is also there in Isaiah 40, verse 9. And we mentioned yesterday, Zion bringing good tidings, saying to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Well, it says, get you up into the high mountain. Now, brethren, this is a wonderful word. I think you probably have heard the word aliyah, that when Jewish people immigrate from, you know, other countries and they come to Israel, they make aliyah. Well, the word here, get thee up, is Allah. It is the word from which Aliyah is described. And another thing our guide mentioned to us, wherever you are in Israel, if you go to Jerusalem, you always go up. Whenever you go to Jerusalem, it's making Aliyah. Okay. Now, this text is talking about getting up into the high mountain. And I think, where are the feet? In Isaiah 52:7, they're upon the mountains. Brethren, we have that high perspective like I showed you earlier with the eagles looking down on the mountains, being able to see the expanse of what's happening in the earth because the scriptures explain to us not who's going to win the election, not who's going to be this way or that way, but it gives you the trends. You know, the Lord, brethren, I love Daniel 11 because the major characters in history, like the Caesars and the Alexanders, they may get one verse, okay? That's all you get. Now you go to textbooks on history and you get pages after pages after pages. The Lord, to me, they're going to be really humbled. Well, the Lord only put my name in because he was trying to establish when Israel would return, when the time of the end would happen. It's all incidental to my real purpose, in other words. Now, for us, brethren, that's how we should watch from the mountaintop. The trends in the earth, how the scriptures are fulfilled. Not, you know, this person, that person. I think in the kingdom, it's going to be kind of humorous having the politicians explain themselves. You said this and you said that, and the people are going to ask, you know. We don't have to worry about any of that. Now, Isaiah 40, the whole chapter is wonderful, friends. It starts with the comfort to Israel. And it speaks of things like, to the Lord, what are the nations but a drop in the bucket? You know, he is totally in control, but his focus is on his people. And it ends with, have you not known, have you not heard, that the everlasting God, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not grow weak or weary? And I'm sure you've heard the point, brethren, this has helped me so much, that our Father's ear is ever open and his eyes are always over his people. And one speaker asked the question, you know, can you go into your boss at any time and ask for help on your job? Any time of day, any experience? Well, I worked in the state of Indiana. Well, you know, you couldn't get in the governor's office for anything. You know, you had to be somebody really important in the world's eyes to do that. But here the creator of the universe, friends, his ears are open to us. And his eyes are over us. I mean, that's something to really appreciate. That he has you in his care. And he's interested in you. He wants you to make your calling election sure. Sometimes we need to meditate on these things. If God be for us, who can be against us? If anyone condemns, who can condemn? Christ died to remove that condemnation, friends. That's what your justification is about. Our Lord never grows weary of us coming to him. You know, Brother Russell makes that point. You can talk to him anytime, as long as you need to, friends. And he's pleased to hear from us. He goes on to say, he gives power to the weary, and to him with no vigor, he increases strength. Now, you know, brethren, this is really spiritual strength that we're talking about. Even the young shall faint and be weary. You know, none of the young can, you know, kind of lord it over us. We got the energy, we can do, you know, these things. They grow weary too. The time passes and they grow old also. The young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on Jehovah shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. It's interesting, brethren, it mentions weariness and fainting. And again, you find this many places in the scripture. One of those words has the thought as of tiring from wearisome flight. Okay, now think about it. Have you ever seen a dove fly and how fast their wings move? And then you think about how, you know, there's other birds, I think swallows, they kind of go back and forth getting the insects in the sky. You notice how the eagle's flight was so different? They're flying. Yeah, it's smooth. Thank you for that. Brethren, that riding the currents doesn't tire the bird out like flapping the wings would. This whole thing of mounting up, and I think it implies relying on the Lord. Sometimes when you're trying to do your own efforts, it's like flapping those wings really hard. When you put it in the Lord's hands and you let the Spirit direct, it's quite different. I think that's what the renewal is really talking about, our reliance upon him. The more we rely on him, the more we're at rest and at peace, and the less we're using our own strength and we're relying on his, dear friends. The other word, and I believe this is the word faint, means to gasp or be exhausted. We don't want to be in that kind of a spiritual state. Hebrews 12:3 mentions, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. The key there is considering him in verse 1, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Galatians 6:9 speaks of not being weary and well-doing, and that's in the context of sowing and reaping, you know, the work in our characters. Now, friends, we wanted to share this run and walk is kind of fascinating. I think Sister Sandy mentioned yesterday the reading, and she let me borrow it, but the reading called Fly Like an Eagle from Deep Waters in a Bubbling Brook, and I really wanted to underscore that, and I thought she was coming up to read it for me. But I think the point, brethren, when you read the account of David and Goliath, that's what this picture is. You know, Goliath makes fun of David. You know, here he is coming with a sling, and he doesn't have armor on. Saul's armor's too big, he can hardly wear it, you know. So he comes out just with his shepherd's sling, and Goliath makes fun of him. What does David do? He says, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come in the name of the Lord of hosts whom you've defied. And he runs to meet Goliath. He anticipates the victory. Now, Sister Sandy read yesterday about the eagles. You know what happens when you have a storm come to your area? What happens to the birds? They all seek shelter. They find a place in the trees or somewhere they'll be out of the storm. What does the eagle do when it sees the storm? It flies toward it, friends. And in flying toward it, brethren, those updrafts from the storm lift it up. Eagles can fly above the storms. Now think about that, brethren. How would you like to meet your experiences by running to them, accepting them, and being lifted up above them? That it becomes not a trial, but it becomes a blessing. We had some testimonies yesterday about that. About when you recognize the Lord's purpose in those trials and how it's outworking in you, your character development improving. That's like riding above the storm, brethren. It's a higher perspective than we have in the flesh, which, oh, why does this happen to me and how could this be? But it's, Lord, thank you for this experience. I see how you're helping me learn patience. Greater love, love for enemies, whatever it is, brethren. That's the perspective we want to have. So I'd relate David running with this point about running and not being weary. But also speaks of walking and not fainting. Did you ever think you'd like to have been on the way to Emmaus? And hear when Jesus opened the scriptures to you know, brethren, in our studies, our communion with our Father and with our Master, that's part of our walk. Are we really gaining the strength from that walk daily with our Father and with our Master? Are we learning from them? Are we considering the Master and what he endured? Did you ever think, brethren, how hard misunderstanding is for you? I hate being misunderstood. I had an extremely understanding mother, brethren. She was wonderful that way. The downside to that is you get out in the world, they don't care if they understand you or not. They just wonder what can they get out of you, you know, at work and so forth. Okay. But our Father understands, and so does our Master. And think of the perspective change when someone misunderstands you. And you think about, well, Jesus was misunderstood. He was so misunderstood, those he was dying for were killing him. Could I bear that kind of experience? Yeah, I don't know if you think about that, brethren, but I can't stand the idea of a nail going through my hand. I don't know how the Master had the composure to allow that, to go like a sheep before her slaughter. But, brethren, we need those kinds of contemplations in our walk. They lift us up above the daily experience. And I wanted to share with you just a couple of examples. And I don't know, does anybody recognize the sister in the middle here? Sister Allison. This is Sister Mary Jane Burns, a very faithful sister years ago in the Miami, well, it was Piqua at the time, the Piqua, Ohio Collegian. Very vivacious sister, loved to talk the truth. She was known for going to brethren's homes, staying up all night talking about the truth, loved prophecy. Sister Karen could probably tell you a lot about her because she was in class with her for a time. At the end of her walk, brethren, she had a stroke. And it was a massive stroke. She lost her ability to speak or to walk. And she had, dear, was it 11 years in that condition? Now, brethren, think about if your experience, just you were serving the Lord, you were trying to walk along and be faithful, and suddenly the Lord said, it's time to stop. But she wasn't delivered to the other side. She had 11 years in a nursing home. You know, friends, sometimes we will talk about, well, she's kept for an example for us. You know, what we strive for is so high. I don't know if that's really all it was. Because we're proved, you know, we have to be proven to the utmost. And so she had experiences even in the nursing home, friends. At first, the brethren would go and they would sing hymns to her. She had one good hand. She would reach it out and she would close the book. And I remember a dear older sister. One time we were there and she did that. And this sister got right up in her face, leaned over the bed. I don't know what she said. But I bet it was along the lines of, you know, if you want to make your coin election sure, you have to accept this experience from the Father. And over time, she was so happy to see the brethren. Karen and I took a chart to her one time and, you know, you can kind of test brethren, you know, you don't know sometimes how much do they comprehend. So you can show the chart, and I would say things that were obviously wrong, and she'd make a face and shake her head. And so you knew she still understood the truth. Well, what it would be like to be kind of in a prison in your mind. You know, brethren, you need to store everything up in that treasure house in your mind. Store the truth up there, because you don't know someday that's what you will have. Your prayer life, your consideration of the promises with the Lord. You know, we pray she was faithful. She certainly at the end, she was very happy to be with the brethren. And I'm sure many of you remember this brother, because he came to some of the Weatherford conventions. He would fly in. This is Brother Marion Schrock. Brother Marion was from a Mennonite family. I don't know how many know this. And brethren, if you ever talk to those that have been in conscience objector camps and ask them what that experience was like, well, I've been told it was kind of a hothouse of argument because you had all these different peace churches, Mennonites and Amish and Bible students and others, and they would have quite the theological discussions, friends. Well, Brother Marion is one that heard the truth and loved it, and it was a blessing for him. And he wrote home, and he was telling his family all about the blessings of the truth, the two salvations, and how there's no hellfire and so forth. Well, friends, when he came home, his sister was standing out on the sidewalk, and she had a box that had all his possessions in it. His parents wouldn't even come out and see him. He was a heretic. And she gives him this and tells him about the parents. He had a lonely walk, brethren. For years in his life. You know, he lived to an older age. Now, he's the kind of brother, friends, I have to watch sometimes. You can mention, you know, I had a question for him. I think it was on the parable of the penny. And I just said, you know, I'm trying to sort through that. Well, 2 weeks later, I get a packet full of notes from him on the parable of the penny. He was like that. He was so devoted to the truth, he would do anything to help you. Never had much, but he would do his part. But I think about this running and not being weary, whether we're alone, whether in the prison of our flesh, whatever experience we have, brethren, realizing that care of the Father and realizing the providences he has for us, trusting, again, trusting in those is so critical. One other thing, friends, we really love about the eagle, because its eyesight is so special, it can actually look into the sun. You know how your parents will tell you, don't look at the sun, you'll lose your eyesight. Now, I'm not sure they can do it indefinitely, but they can look in the sun for a time, a good period of time. You know, brethren, we can look in the light of truth, is what it says to me. You know, we're not blinded by the beauty of the truth, friends, but we rejoice in it. And sometimes eagles will fly toward it, as you see in this picture. Sometimes being able to catch their prey is because they can see them despite the sunlight. And they can fly in a way that they don't cast their shadow over the prey and get prey and give them warning and so forth. It's just quite an interesting point. Now, Hebrews 12:3 I mentioned, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Brethren, this is such a strong nugget point for us. You know, contradiction of sinners. You know, the world of mankind and opposing us, they're really working against their own interests from their standpoint, you know. From our standpoint, it's good they don't understand us and we have these experiences from them. But it's a contradiction, brethren. And it's so helpful to remember that. You know, that as Christ died for them, we're laying our lives down. And they have to go in some way. How do we accept those experiences that he permits? And for me, the key is really fixing my eyes on the Master and realizing his example. You know, brethren, I think about how he longed for the apostles to understand what he was doing. You read those accounts where he was trying to tell them, I'm going to die and in 3 days I'll be resurrected, you know, for example. And Peter would say, be it far from thee, Lord. And he had to rebuke him. And I appreciate that Peter had the kind of character he could accept a rebuke like, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not sure how many of us could do that. But he could learn from that. Now, friends, as you consider the Master and this contradiction of sinners, and he was not understood even by those that, I mean, he knew they were consecrated to him, but they couldn't understand. And brethren, he even went to the extent, I often wonder about this, that when he raised Lazarus, do you remember how long Lazarus had been in the tomb? 4 days. He told him he'd be in the tomb 3 days. He gave them a practical demonstration one could return from the dead a day longer. You know, that should have increased their faith in the point. But, you know, expectations, they're expecting the earthly kingdom. And their minds just couldn't receive that. So, friends, we could be really misunderstood as well, even by one another, you know. The important thing is pleasing our Father and our Master and walking with them. But we do have great privileges of walking together, brethren, that the Master didn't have. I don't ever want to underestimate that. We've so enjoyed, brethren, the friends here in Texas. It's been very enriching in our walk. Now, we also wanted to just share, brethren, Romans 12:2 points out, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And that word there, metamorpho, is from the word metamorphosis in the Greek. It's the word that's used for how a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. But notice this. It's by the renewing of your mind. Here's this renewal again, friends. So you can discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, friends, sometimes we misunderstand this transformation. Sometimes we think of it in terms of Christian character development. You know what? That's what the world will do in the kingdom. This is much higher than that. You know, as the caterpillar is an earthly insect bound to the ground, the butterfly flies in the heavens, brethren. This is talking about the change of nature from the earthly conditions to the heavenly. And brethren, this picture that we had a discussion of this, the Wilmington class, which was just wonderful. But you know the scripture about how the inward man is renewed while the outward man perishes? This picture really shows that, because the butterfly develops basically by consuming the old caterpillar nature. And I'd never thought of this, friends, but one of the brethren pointed out, You know, you go into the cocoon, it's totally hidden from the world. You know how our life is hidden with Christ. But by the end of our walk with the monarch, it's transparent. And how we're to have transparent characters. And I'm going to forget this, Sister Karen Sue will remember, but there's one part of the caterpillar that actually remains, but everything else is consumed in that process of becoming the butterfly. And that one thing that remains is a testimony that we still have the same personality, brethren. We don't lose our identities in that process. So, brethren, it's important for renewal and how we handle our experiences, but being transformed, not in character only, but far above that, being transformed from earthly to heavenly conditions, having the mind and spirit so developed that when the Lord looks at our character at the end of our walk, he'll see that individual needs a heavenly body. That is the only thing that will fit that character. And that's when Paul's talking about, you know, if we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. That's the point. We get so out of home in this old fleshly nature in our walk that we're really transferring all our treasure into heaven and making ready to receive that spirit body. And we wanted to close with this Psalm 84, 4 through 7. And I'm sure you've had this before, friends. But how blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They are ever praising thee. How blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways. I love that, brother. It's talking about that, you know, there's the highway of holiness for mankind to come. Passing through the valley of Baca, weeping, they make it a spring. And that's, I think we had some testimonies about that yesterday as well. The early rain also covers it with blessings. And the New American Standard adds, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. Now think about that, brethren, going from strength to strength. That's the renewal again, brethren. But it is also more than that. There is a strength of the new creature that's developed here on earth. But then there's the strength on the other side when the faithful are given the spirit bodies. Brethren, a couple of very helpful reprints on this are reprint 5912. And it's on this point of they go from strength to strength. And then another is reprint 5711-12, how we are to wait upon the Lord, that point that I raised earlier about how the Lord strengthens our heart through proper waiting upon him. And may the Lord overrule anything that's spoken. And thank you for your attention, brethren.